It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A group of top college basketball prospects are leading an anti-violence campaign in the Milwaukee area with one simple message. Take a pause.
They're urging their peers to stop and reflect before reacting in moments of high conflict. And the basketball players are spreading the composure skills they use on the court that could be used to de-escalate situations in day-to-day life with a goal to prevent violent outcomes.
Mike Rogers Jr. and London Hollins are both high school basketball athletes and leaders in the violence prevention campaign called Playmakers for Peace. The campaign was made possible through a Wisconsin Department of Violence Prevention grant. Mike and London, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Tiffany Yvonne is creator of Playmakers for Peace. Tiffany, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, thank you. So good to be here.
Tiffany, what was the catalyst for launching Playmakers for Peace? What is that origin story?
You know, I was at the National Association of Basketball Coaches conference in Indianapolis during the NCAA games in March, and I stumbled upon a booth that was Coaches Against Gun Violence or Coaches for Gun Safety. And I thought, what a cool idea, except for young people usually don't listen to coaches, you know, very well. I think it might be better if they did it themselves. So what would it look like for athletes to kind of host this sort of initiative, because then it's peer-to-peer. And I felt like that might be even more impactful than just having it come from coaches. And then just started looking around the news across different cities. I'm from Chicago and Milwaukee, and just as we were traveling. And there was always a story about some sort of athlete being a victim of violence, or, you know, how they were getting around violence. And I said, I know some athletes who bring the crowd, right? Like, they bring out eons of people across Milwaukee. Let's see if we can get some backing to get this started and see who might be interested. We put out a call for athletes to apply, and tons did, and we chose five, and kind of we just started from there.
You had a really big response to your call. Were you surprised by that?
I wasn't surprised, because I know that the athletes that I tend to work with are leaders on and off the court. They tend to do unconventional things. I host classes on like mental performance and working on the mental side of the game, emotional intelligence regulation, how they can, you know, use those skills to win on and off the court. So it already takes a certain type of athlete to interact with that. Most athletes are just thinking about skills and drills. So the ones I work with, tend to think outside of the box. So I felt like there would be a response. I didn't know if it would pull them too much out of their comfort zone to be talking about something different than basketball, though. So that was a little bit surprising.
So, Mike, what do you hope that your words and actions do in terms of helping your friends do the right thing and to stop and pause and not use guns?
Yeah, what we're promoting is we should always pause before we think. And I think that just taking that into account for not only like on the court, because obviously we all play basketball, the six of us, but, you know, off the court as well. And, you know, you just want everyone in the city to just pause and think before acting.
London, you're a junior in Milwaukee. What attracted you to this campaign? Why did you step up?
I stepped up because this topic was really important to talk about, and the opportunity that I was given was something I knew I could use my voice for, not just for basketball, but off the court. We wanted to create awareness, and I want my neighborhood to be more safer, and I want peace around the world. So I feel like this would be a good opportunity for me to use my voice and to do it with other athletes who are serious about this as well.
Have people in your neighborhood been listening to you? Do you see some changes coming about?
Yes, this campaign has reached a lot of people, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback and messages about this, which just makes me want to do this more and to talk about this more so that we can create like more stuff like this for the youth to be able to use their voice as well and just do stuff safer in our communities.
Mike touched on this, that a central part of this campaign is calling on people to take a pause when facing the fast-moving situations and tempers that are starting to flare. London, how do you teach that mindset of composure?
Just by how we hold ourselves on the court. All athletes who are participating in this campaign, we try to keep our composure because we have younger athletes coming to our games, looking up to us. So it just helps us have that same attitude off the court, just representing ourselves the right way, always encouraging these younger athletes not to just be good on the court, but to hold themselves the right way off the court as well. And that's why it's so much bigger than basketball.
Tiffany, how does your organization collaborate with the city and other organizations that are focused on reducing gun violence? What is that connection to the larger network?
Yeah, I think our work has always been supported by the mayor in terms of just the leadership development work in our athlete leadership lab, as well as like the athletes being able to build their own brands and like name, image, and likeness now being a thing that they're able to use for their own career readiness and leadership skills. And so in January, we received a proclamation from the mayor of Milwaukee just highlighting how the same skills that the athletes use on the court are like quick decision-making, problem-solving, conflict resolution. You know, like you don't fight the ref, you know, you don't argue with the fans, you kind of just stay focused on the goal. And in the video that he recorded for us, he even, you know, said, these are skills that I use in my job every day. And so I think just building that awareness that what they may be doing subconsciously on the court as part of just a game that they love is something that's actually used from city hall to corner offices of Fortune 500 companies every single day is a great awareness that they needed to know so that they could see themselves as leaders, not only on the court, but also off of it. And then when we decided to take the brand building from just simply like representing, you know, a product like, hey, I drink smart water, you know, whether or not you actually drink smart water, but just someone's willing to pay you to say that, and to say, well, how can we build career readiness, leadership skills, and conflict resolution, as well as like media training, right, with these athletes for something that they actually care about, for something the city actually cares about. Sometimes I feel like it, you know, it may not even be resonating with them fully right now, what it means to have your names, you know, resonating through the halls of civic buildings in the city of Milwaukee, but it's just very meaningful for them to be able to see themselves in a different light.
And so personal to each of the athletes as well. Tiffany, you mentioned words, and later this month, you're hosting an event where athletes and the greater public are encouraged to read a six-word story that they believe can provide change. Why six words?
No, I think we want to keep it simple. And six words are something that you can remember. Like, I would love everyone's six words for you. It to be as synonymous with you knowing your last name. Like, what's your last name? Okay, I'm Tiffany Yvonne. Okay, well, what's your six words? And so really being able to know that six words truly can save a life. The six-word story is, you know, six simple words that can help you personally reset, or that you could share with a friend to help them reset when change, challenge, or chaos arises. And so each of the athletes created a six-word story. And on the July 1st event, we invited the public. There were pastors, there was community leaders, there were younger athletes, 10, 11 years old, and they all created six-word stories. And so on August 22nd, it's just the culmination of like ending the Safe Summer initiative with Prolific Arms. And we're going to invite everyone to create their own six-word story, and the athletes who are in town will be there and helping to co-host the room where teams across the city will be invited to create their own six-word story.
I wonder, Mike, could you share your story?
Yeah, of course. My six-word story was choose love in cycles of violence. And that really stuck out with me, like while I was thinking and just, you know, trying to figure out what I was going to do for my six-word story. I chose choose love to start off my six-word story because obviously, you know, choosing love is what we all should do. You know, we should all love who we're around and, you know, be peaceful with each other. And then in cycles of violence, it's just, you know, it's just repetitive and, you know, cycles of violence throughout Milwaukee and, you know, all over, actually. And, you know, you just want to end that.
Hmm. Thank you for sharing that. London, can we hear your six-word story?
My 6-4 story was hooping saves lives, stop, and violence steals dreams. I chose that because a lot of us, we choose our dreams that we want to chase. And for me, that was basketball. But whatever dream it is that we want to chase, we sometimes hear sad stories that violence can steal those dreams. And that stood out to me to be able to say, because we have to be able to talk about how violence can end up, unfortunately, stealing people's dreams. So we have to try to limit those things and choose peace in anything that we do to limit those things.
What is your dream for your community?
To help create a safe place for everybody, but also importantly, the youth, so that we can create these safer things and communities for the youth to do something positive with their life, not just basketball, but whatever they want to be able to accomplish, we have to be able to do that with a safe community.
Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for sharing Playmakers for Peace with us.
I'm really excited. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to share it, and I hope it cascades. If anyone's interested, definitely visit playmakersforpeace.com. And even for you, we'd love for you to create. We're always putting the host, when we're welcome somewhere, we put the host on the spot and say, like, what are your 6 words? So we would love for you to add your 6-word story to the playmakersforpeace.com website.
Yeah. That's how you grow the movement. And Mike in London, thank you so much for sharing your work with this campaign.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
Mike Rogers Jr. and London Hollins are both high school basketball players and leaders in Playmakers for Peace, a violence prevention campaign. Tiffany Yvonne is the creator of the program. We've been talking about violence prevention efforts in the Milwaukee area. Now, homicides are down about 20% in Milwaukee compared to the same time last year. That's according to the latest data from the Milwaukee Police Department. As of Monday, the city has recorded 74 homicides. Reggie Moore is director of community safety policy and engagement at the Comprehensive Injury Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Reggie, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
With this latest data, we're tracking a decline in homicides in Milwaukee. What do you think is driving that?
I think what we are seeing is the continuation of a commitment to addressing violence as a public health issue, really looking at the priorities that were identified in the Blueprint for Peace back in 2017 that contributed to a steady decline in homicides and non-fatal shootings, but also looking at the comeback that the city has been making, obviously, since the COVID pandemic. And unfortunately, it did take us a couple of years to start to see that decline. But again, I think the increased level of coordination, actually using data to drive, prioritize interventions, both in terms of location, but also looking at specific populations, whether we're talking youth and young adults, but also individuals who are at higher risk of gun violence. And typically those are individuals who may have been involved in gun violence in their past or may have been victimized by gun violence. So I think when we look at community violence intervention specifically, it is a strategy that's working here and also working around the country.
While firearms are the leading cause of death among children, the average age for a shooter in Milwaukee is in their mid-20s. How do these violence prevention efforts differ between talking with younger people versus adults?
When we look at addressing things as a public health issue, it really is about, again, using the data to be intentional around who is disproportionately impacted by a particular issue, and then also looking at what are evidence-informed practices or policies or programs that have been shown and have an impact. And so when we look at particularly youth, and looking at it from a prevention perspective, doing everything possible before harm or risk starts to elevate in a young person's life, and really wrapping our arms around them and ensuring that they have access to a consistent caring adult, whether that's a coach, a teacher, a mentor, those things are really important. But then when risk has arrived, whether it's because of victimization or engaging in high-risk behavior, ensuring that there are intervention programs that can also support young people at the moment and at the point of need, but then also provide trauma-informed healing and support, particularly for those who have survived or been exposed to violence. Because one of the things that we know is that violence is a cycle, but it's also preventable.
this year it is on track to possibly having the lowest record, lowest recorded murder rate in national history. You mentioned programs that got their start, like Blueprint for Peace, over almost, you know, a decade ago. Do you expect that programs take a while to get established? And do you think that this downward trend in homicides, could that continue?
Great question. Yes, we when we look at, there's a number of factors that have occurred since 2017, most notably, obviously, the COVID pandemic, but also changes in leadership, whether we're talking civic leadership, whether it's at the city or county level, whether we're talking leadership at the police department level, where they're more collaborative and willing and, you know, to share data. Really, I think when we look across systems in our community, we see a lot more collaboration, I think, than we've seen on this issue in a very long time. You have healthcare systems and leaders at the table. Children's of Wisconsin, for example, invested heavily in the Safe Summer effort that was coordinated by Milwaukee County, as well as the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee Public Schools, to really be responsive to the crisis that the superintendent really raised alarm about in terms of the number of students that she witnessed being impacted by homicides and non-fatal shootings as she took over the Milwaukee Public School System as the new superintendent. And so it really has been a coordinated effort and understanding that every system in our community has a role to play. And most importantly, families and adults and young people in our neighborhoods and in our communities that do experience the brunt of violence in our city. And really, I think the next phase of the blueprint is looking at how far have we come, but also how far do we need to go? What are kind of new priorities that have emerged, obviously, since 2017? And really engaging the community in defining what those priorities should be.
What new priorities are emerging for you and the work you do in the Comprehensive Injury Center?
A few things that we're looking at. Number one, when we look at firearm related homicides and mortality, suicides have unfortunately increased, and especially among young people. So that's something that we're paying attention to. I think obviously the rise in digital and social media and how those tools are used, unfortunately, sometimes to accelerate violence or conflict online. And so really being intentional about how we, number one, track, but also engage with individuals, you know, through those mediums. As 41 for Life, we are also being really intentional about particularly those who have been, who are returning to our community from being incarcerated, and particularly incarcerated for firearm-related offenses. That population is highly vulnerable to either injury or offense, and we want to ensure that we're doing everything possible to provide supportive services for those individuals to ensure their safety and success.
Reggie, thank you so much for joining us and for this update.
Thank you.
Reggie Moore directs Community Safety Policy and Engagement at the Comprehensive Injury Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. We've been talking about a recent decline in homicides in Milwaukee. We previously spoke with Playmakers for Peace creator Tiffany Yvonne and high school athletes Mike Rogers and London Hollins about a Milwaukee area campaign to promote violence prevention.